Blog Talk Radio.
Well, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Before God.
Leader. Who taught Bob?
He was like a preacher. He preached Rastafarianism, and he had a following. He hooked up with Bob as a young boy. I think that they gelled together.
Bob looked up to him.
Oh, yes.
To all the suffering going on in Jamaica, it turned you into a militant person. Because you always have to try to find a way out of this system. And we see Rastafari as a liberationist religion.
It is prophesied that oppression make the wise man mad. And who is madder than my servant, said the Lord, our God, Rastafari.
The Rastafarian were the only true Afrocentric black people who preached self-reliance, who preached self-confidence.
But we interpret the Bible a different way. Most of these places that they're telling you about in the Bible, it's in Africa. The Garden of Eden is in Africa. The teaching that we get from the elders then is that we always have to look for a black man as God, for we. Somebody that we can identify with.
Christ promised to mankind that he will return within 2,000 years. And when he returns, he will be the King of Kings through the lineage of King Solomon and King David. Now we look out there to see who is this one man, Haile Selassie I the First.
Emperor Haile Selassie I is the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. He's our God, Rasta God. Rasta said, the purpose of life is to be happy. Everybody's supposed to be happy. And live in peace, love, and unity. Yeah, man. I think when him start take it serious now as a Rasta man was, and him start grow him dreadlocks.
Locks meant that you were a Rastafarian, and you've taken a vow, not a right vow, not to cut or comb your hair for a certain length of time, and it has a significance, and it's not to be taken lightly.
How important are the dreadlocks?
This?
Is that
this
part
is my
of being
identity,
a Rasta?
Man. Yeah, this is my identity.
Then you go through all the various rules for living as set out by the Bible. How you eat, how you live, how you treat other people. And he believed that if you practice these things, well, life would be better, not only for you, but for everyone else.
Marijuana is illegal in Jamaica, but the Rastas say they smoke it because the Bible tells them to. The Book of Revelation says to partake of the herb.
Herb was like a sacramental food to us. We take it for reasons. Not just to get high. It puts us in a holy, peaceful, happy, inspirational mood.
Were you born as a Rasta?
I was born, you know, and growing. There was a certain amount of consciousness in myself that, you know, it was always a lonely world, not finding people who might think like me, you know. After going on and come to Kingston, meet some more people. Them people is Rasta. You talk to them and find out it's the same thing I have inside. It's the same thing.
How old were you when this started to happen?
This is about 17, 18, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think in the belief or knowledge of Haile Selassie, Bob found his real father, which he never really knew.
I think he saw himself now. This is where he found himself, yes. No more about being half white or half black. It's just one love.
One love, one heart.
by the driving rain, a sea of faces awaited at the Palisados Airport the arrival of a living legend. For some, he was the King of Kings, the Lion of Judah, even a god. Members of a local cult, the Rastafarians, who worshipped this figure as a deity, were present in full force. His Imperial Majesty, Haile Selassie I, Emperor of Ethiopia, arrived.
When the plane landed, thousands ran out to me, surrounded the plane. Some of them smoking. And police were powerless. And Selassie came to the door of the plane, I remember, and after about 20 minutes, and he just looked and went back in. Took a long time to get him off the plane.
So he came off the plane and he grieved. Selassie, I said, wait, but this is a little man. So this is this little man that says, God, I'm crazy.
I sit there on my bicycle, waiting on him, and when him come up, he look right in my face. It's like him looking to everybody's face. But he look upon everyone. I remember I see that.
And he just turned his head around, and he was looking straight at me, and he did like this. Then I look, and I saw his hand, and I saw a mark in his hand. And believe you, my brother, when I saw that,
Lion of Judah, return to the throne. shining in fulfillment as the righteous gathering under a new name. King Rastafari, weak hearts are tremble when they hear its sound. New name, power of the Trinity, Lion of Judah, return to the throne with a new name. King Rastafari, Lion of Judah, return to the throne with a new name. King Rastafari, Israel assemble when them hear its sound. New name, power of the Trinity, Lion of Judah, return to the throne with a new name. King
Kadamawi, Haile Selassie, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kadamawi, Kadamawi. Selassie.
The whole place is due for
help. Yes, 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 brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, near and far. Check out Priest Isaac Institute, the Priest Isaac channel, most recent Rasta Roundtable, even the previous, you know, and our brother priest, his presentations, the Ras Slicker, the Priest Isaac, you know, still ahead in this movement right here. And also, you know, pray against the slanderers, the false accusers, you know, hot to fire on that. That was another post that he had shared, but not to give more, you know, not more energy to that. But, you know, we must be our brother and our sister's keeper. You know, he said, you can tell who are my disciples by how much love they have for one another. So here, we just touched on the origins, or at least an intro reason, man. So I want to heal up the fellows there, Ras Sikoma Dread, you know, Kwame, Ras Ison, of course, Ras Sefer Selassie on the panel, and the Honorable Priest Isaac for providing on Radio Anu that opportunity. Just came off of that right there, but still in the meditation, the origins, not origin, but the origins of Rastafari. Very, very interesting reason, man. Hope ones and ones, you know, go and check it out. And also, you know, as a show of support in this social media, though it has its own background, as the Honorable Priest pointed to, the whole thumbs up thing has a whole different when you research where these things come from. But for this medium, this platform, you know, information, knowledge increasing, going to and fro, let's support one another. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here for the Thursday, what we also call the Upper Room of Zion. I'm laughing right here because I brother Ras Isern, you know, speaking on the meta and the metaphysics. Definitely most ones and ones who really, as disciples or on a discipleship fashion, you know, tune in a little more regularly, you know, or follow up on their own studies, know that we do touch on the metaphysics. It's a very, very important aspect as we grow in grace and in knowledge. But right here, like to touch on the overflow. We're at the fifth day of the Shabuah, the fifth day of this week, counting from the first day, Ethiopically known as Ehud, first day, Yom HaRishon, that's the Hebrew there, but still implies a sense of first day. And there's no sun day idea when we start to look at our Afro-African Shemitic roots. Just to point that out, because ones might say, oh, Sunday and Sunday worship and Sunday this. This is only in this captivity or in this Western Gentile, this world system, in this times of the Gentiles. We talk about the times of the Gentiles and the last days of that system, this system of things, present world system of things, not just the outer political aspect, which is a very, very important aspect to the real roots of Rastafari, you know, the political. And now people get confused when we say politics, because they say Rasta burn politics. No, the elders taught I and I burn politics, you know, politics, the politics of those policies and procedures, ideally and properly speaking, that are good for the people. But there's also the root, you know, what's in the man, you know, the spirit in the man. If it's a spirit of good, you know, then we ascribe it in a simple text to God. If it's evil, then we ascribe that to the devil, right? So it's that spirit in the man that reveals to I and I who are able to receive the Rastafari, Kedemawi Haile Selassie. But here we have an overflow here. We're in the 47th sabbatical study, Re'e. And there's some Q&As right here. The word Re'e, or in a more usual Hebrew speech, Re'e. It will sound like Re'e in the usual speech, Re'e. Interesting how that word sound goes around, Re'e. Or as we break it down for children and teaching the basic, Re'e means to see. Seeing, sight, isn't this interesting? As we look into other related African, you could say, and black people's spirituality in that particular region of the world. After all, does not the scripture say that Egypt is my people? People, we're going to ride up right here with some of the overflow questions. I think we had 44. I think we go to like 50-something. The overflow questions right here from the previous ICAP, consequences or consequently because of. Going through some of the studies here, because some of the basic studies is the plain read. We could say literally. When I say literally, interesting in Amharic, literally means kal bekal, word for word. So by going over the first level of study, getting familiar with the basic text, the King James Version, of course, and heal up to, I think it was Icomadred that brought forward on the origins of Rastafari on the priest Isaac platform. He brought the Scofield Study Bible, and many ones know that we make that a point of reference. So now one of the reasons, of course, is because many earlier Rastafari brothers and sisters, even many from the 12 tribes, had pointed that out to us. And as we began to read it and, you know, study the notes and also read and study history of His Majesty of Ethiopia and other related black and African studies, we started to see a very interesting revelation, you know, within both the actualization that we see in the King of Kings and through the King of Kings and through the early ancestors and patriarchs and matriarchs, and also in our way of interpreting, you know, what does Matthew say, Haile Selassie says? He caused a new translation of the Bible, which the young and old, you know, could understand so that ones and ones would find the truth for themselves. But in the Scofield Study Bible and a few of these other early Rastafari works that are along the theological aspect, what is interesting is studying the Ethiopian books and writings, you know, and looking into, well, what did the Ethiopians and their Judeo-Christian, you could say, manifestation, because Ethiopia has very deep, Kush has very deep roots going all the way back to the first times and the ancient times. But their interpretations sometimes very ironically matches some of the interpretation we find in other works like the Scofield Study Bible. But here, brothers and sisters, not to go gallop on that right there, but let's get into some of the studies right here, especially the Q&As. So grab your pen, your paper, your sacred scripture. We're going to pick up with some of the questions and answers from low degrees. So this is like a first primary study. It's just becoming familiar, you know, from Torah portion to Torah portion with what the scripts really, really are saying, you know, just the basic translation, some keywords so that we can begin to see more of the truth for ourselves and basically choose for ourselves. But here. Yes, I. New name,
Jagatan is a rebel among men. He didn't know like the name. Yes, a new name, Jagatan is a rebel among men. He didn't know like the name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we got tremble. He then no like the name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we got tremble. He then no like the name.
I and I are the black Jews. And Israel King is Israel God. And upon the crucifixion tree there, where Jesus Christ is crucified, you see I-N-R-I, I Negus, rule Israel.
Rule Ethiopia, that clip right there, there from an old video right there, interpreting I-N-R-I. Now, the I-N-R-I, for most ones who know, that's what is said in the Gospels, was hanged over the cross, that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, or Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, was crucified upon, according to what is written, that it had I-N-R-I was a way of abbreviating the words, what is it? Iesus, Nazareno, Syrexis, Yisrael. In other words, that Jesus of Nazareth is the king of Israel. That's what's written there. Now, in the revelation of Rastafari, we see that for this time, you know, when we talk about Messiah and Christ, there's a lot of confusion. Messiah or Christ, well, actually, Moshiach from the Hebrew, that's Messiah. Even the Bible says that we found the Messiahs in a kind of a Greek, a little bit of a Hebrew, but a Greek way of saying the Hebrew term, you know, that is being called, right, you know, Christ within the language that they were speaking. It's like right now, if I'm speaking Hebrew, I say, Moshiach, HaMoshiach, who? What am I saying? HaMoshiach, who? The Messiah, who? The Messiah is him, right? But now if I were to bring it out to one who don't understand the Messiah, that's Moshiach, but they don't know what Moshiach is, I might just say, okay, the anointed, he is the anointed. This is what went on within the title, right? So Christ is a title, right? When we say in the English, Jesus Christ, from the Hebrew sense of the people, the original African Semitic concept and linguistic understanding, they were saying that Yeshua, right, the one known as Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, that he is HaMoshiach. He is that Messiah. Now, what's interesting is that the term, as we've touched on over and over and over again, we first find the first Messiah within the biblical narrative would be Aaron, the brother of Moshe. And the first, the first Christ slash Messiah or Messiah slash Christ within the biblical Old and New Testament context would be Aharon or Aaron. And the first Christians or Messiahites, Meshachim, would be his sons who were the priests. So we find that the first use of the idea and the concept in a Hebraic or Israelitish, or some might want to say a Judaic sense, getting to the literary, what is written roots based on the scripts, the first Messiah or Christ would be Aaron. Now, of course, that would confuse some folks when they hear me say, oh, you know, the first Christ in the Bible is Aaron. They're like, no, it's Jesus Christ. Well, see, that's a religious zeal right there. That's being zealous. And even the Bible says, you know, many have a zeal, you know, for God, but it's not according to knowledge. If they really knew, they wouldn't really have an argument with that, right? But the argument is because if Aaron was the first Christ, meaning anointed, or in the Hebrew sense, Messiah, Moshiach, and if his sons, who were the priests, all of the priests are Levites, but not all of the Levites are priests. The only ones who were priests were the descendants of Aaron and his son. So the first Christians or Messiahites, I like to use the term Christian because this is the point. We're trying to pull back that veil, because once we have that veil pulled back, those in the New Testament sense obviously understood that. That's why the epistle to Hebrews is talking about the whole Levitical order and the priestly sacramental functions. And then it sums it up and then it links it. Well, for us, within that Brit Hadasha sense, Yeshua is the Messiah. And therefore, if he is HaMoshiach, then therefore he is also our high priest, the high priest of our profession. right? So the roots of understanding that Messiah or Christ is a title. Why we're emphasizing that so much? Because some would try to make you think, well, that if Messiah is interpreted as Christ, and both basically means anointed, that only Yeshua of Nazareth in the biblical tradition is the only one who had that title. Absolutely incorrect. And even those who are ascribed to the New Testament first century time, they well understood that. Right? They well understood that. And it's my kind of assessment that if these basic principles was understood, we would not have so many so-called denominations, you know, that conflict against each other, and so-called Christians historically that have fought and killed each other over so-called doctrinal differences, if they understood the real roots or the real origins, right, of the word and the ideas ascribed to Christ. So Aaron was the first Christ in the Bible and the first Christians, the only ones that were Christians in the camp of Israel in the wilderness, to say the only ones who were anointed ones was Aaron and his sons. Now, for ones who are familiar with the New Testament narrative explaining who Christ, Jesus Christ, is and how he's our high priest and how we and Christ are priests, you know, we're a royal order, a holy priesthood. This is all based on the foundation that we have in Torah and that we have within the Hebrew aspect of the Bible. But here. We are here on the fifth day, and we have the evening psalms, the standing psalms. Get this right here. Judaically, according to most Jews, right, we say Orthodox Jews, there are certain psalms that are like evening psalms. You know, they're like standing psalms. The history and the narrative says that these are psalms that were chanted by the priests within the temple of Jerusalem, circa 70 AD, and the tradition even points to even in the first temple, right, of Solomon, and you know that these particular psalms, these psalms that we call the evening psalms. Now, I did not know about that when I started chanting these evening psalms and also the daily psalms. I learned them because they are the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews. And I got this from the Orthodox Church up in the Bronx, the church that Archbishop Yitzhak, you know, had presided over, and also during the time when he was with us. And it was like a kind of a card. And on this card, it had like both sides, like half of the year. You know, like these months, like say from January to half of the year, and then on the other side, the rest of the half of the year. But then at the bottom, it had like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I noticed that these were called evening psalms. And these evening psalms, also in the calendar that was produced by, you know, the Orthodox Church that His Majesty had purchased for the church up in the Bronx. I think it was Kadis Selassie, if I'm correct. Holy Trinity, if we are correct with that name. But many ones who know that history know that. Even in the calendar they had, in the middle part of the calendar, you know, the fold out, the center fold of the calendar, it had on one side half of the year and on the next side half of the year. But these psalms for the evening were always the same psalms. So in our studies, getting further and deeper in our studies and studying more of, you know, even nowadays Judaism, how it's practiced and tracing things as far to the roots, scripturally and otherwise, you know, we got to come across the very same evening psalms. I think that's an important testimony, right, for the Ethiopia. We say that our royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews and the Ethiopia Judeo-Christian claims. I think that's very, very important there. Because in modern Judaism amongst the Orthodox, there are these seven psalms that are called the evening psalms, right? The evening psalms. Now, here's another interesting point, that the Ethiopians, their calendar and the way they count time is in the very same biblical mind. In other words, the evening psalm, actually, like we call this the evening. It is the evening. but actually from the Ethiopic, the ancient Ethiopic royal order, and also amongst other, we say, Torah or Judaic observers, that the evening right now is actually the evening of the next day to come. You know what I mean? Because of the principle in the Bible, evening and morning, you know, is one particular day. But the fact that the evening psalms, according to the true church and the professing Ethiopian Tewahedo church and integrally African church, as Archbishop Yitzhak wrote in that book, and we need to get that book, the Ethiopian Tewahedo church and integrally African church. This is a book that has been suppressed for several decades. This particular book, if anyone has a PDF, a good PDF, send it forward, lojs.org, because we definitely need to get some prints of that book, because the man, the priest, right, whom His Imperial Majesty sent, right, Archbishop Yitzhak, wrote an entire book covering a lot of key points from a Ethiopian perspective. When I said Ethiopian perspective, based on the ancient archive of literature and documents going over hundreds, if not thousands of years, the story and the narrative of Queen of Sheba, King Solomon, you know, church basics about concerning the church and the true faith. And at the summary of the book, near the end of the book, he spends several pages, almost a good part of a chapter, on Rastafari. And I've heard a lot of different things recently where ones are saying, you know, this and that about what Archbishop Yitzhak stood for, you know, that basically he was anti-Rasta, or he was telling Rasta this or that. But the best testimony of what he was saying is in that book. But of course, if you look up that book, the Ethiopian Tewahedo Church. Notice how he even titled it. He didn't say the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church. No, he's coming from the roots, because Tewahedo is the definition of what Ethiopians and the called, chosen, and faithful regard as Tewahedo, which basically means like union night, or to become one, right? To become one. Now, before we go off on that particular point right there, I just want to zoom in on the evening psalms and the fact that we first discovered the evening psalms and the daily psalms from evidence and information provided by the Ethiopian Tewahedo Church, and particularly by Archbishop Yitzhak, the one whom Ketamawi Haile Selassie sent to the West Church. And then I get to find that these are the very same psalms that Orthodox Jews and others Judaically might make the claim that these were the very same six psalms that was chanted in the evening by the priests as well as the Levitical attendants in the first, and it said even in the second temple of Jerusalem times. And here we have the psalm right here. It is Psalm 81. Let's go from low degrees to high degrees right here, here, here. Let's actually play this a cappella right here. When you say a cappella, without our kind of a dub remix right here. This is Thursday or the fifth day. Thursday is known to us as the fifth day of the week. Sunday, that they call, the Gentiles call Sunday, Ethiopically, is the first day. The days are basically first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. And only the Shabbat day really has a unique name. So the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, here for the Thursday Upper Room of Zion. Here we are at the fifth day. Today's daily psalm is Psalm 81. Here with a few Hebrew highlights.
Psalm 81.
Mizmor pe alef lam natseya al hagittit le asaf.
Sing aloud unto God our strength.
Uzenu, 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 uzenu. Harninu l'Elohim, uzenu, 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 uzenu.
Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. God of Jacob. God of Jacob.
L'Elohe Yaakov. L'Elohe Yaakov. L'Elohe Yaakov. Hari'u l'Elohe Yaakov. L'Elohe Yaakov. L'Elohe Yaakov. L'Elohe Yaakov. L'Elohe Yaakov. L'Elohe Yaakov. L'Elohe Yaakov.
Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledst in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. But their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied,
מזמור פא למנצח על הגיתית לאסף, 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 לאסף.
Sing aloud unto God our strength, our strength.
עוזנו, 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 עוזנו. הרנינו לאלוהים עוזנו, 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 עוזנו.
Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a song and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledst in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. Their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat. With honey out of the rock should I have satisfied,
מזמור פא למנצח על הגיתית לאסף. הרנינו לאלוהים עוזנו, הריעו לאלוהי יעקב. שאו זמרה ותנו תוף, כינור נעים עם נבל. תקעו בחודש שופר, בכסא ליום חגנו, כי חוק לישראל הוא משפט לאלוהי יעקב, עדות בהוסף שמו בצאתו על ארץ מצרים, שפת לא ידעתי אשמע. הסירותי מצבל שכמו, כפיו מדוד תעבורנה, בצרה קראת ואכל לצקע, אענך בסדר רעם, אבחונך על מי מריבה סלע. שמע עמי ואעידה בך, ישראל אם תשמע לי, לא יהיה בך אל זר, ולא תשתחווה לאל נחר. אנוכי אדוני אלוהיך, המעלך מארץ מצרים, הרחב פיך ואמלאהו. ולא שמע עמי לקולי, וישראל לא אהבה לי, ואשלחהו בשרירות ליבם, ילכו במועצותיהם. לו עמי שומע לי, ישראל בדרכי יהלכו, כמעט אויביהם אכניע, ועל צריהם אשיב ידי. משנאי אדוני יכחשו לו, והיא איתם לעולם, ויאכילהו מחלב חיטה, ומצור דבש
Thank you.
Sabbatical study here at the 47th, coming here to the end of a semester here in the season. So we tend to go through the full Torah, you know, the five books, the five volumes that's often referred to as the Torah, but also, you know, with the Haftarah, the prophet's reading, and for I and I, embracing the Brit, the Chadash, the Adish Kidan, the New Covenant, even that revelation of the fullness in our time. We see Kedemah HaSelassie as that anointed. He was anointed and crowned, you know, the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, root of David, and king of Israel. But it's that revelation, right, that actualization of the man, right, for those of us who do receive the scripture, even the Bible, within the King of Kings' own teaching. For my part, I glory in the Bible, can see more and more of that glory, but also faith without works is dead. Right, so many of us seeing those works, right, and being grounded in some of the tools of the faith, you know, can strengthen even I and I faith and that God-man revelation, the spirit within I and I and I. Yes, I, because the Bible says until Christ, you know, the Bible says until Christ be formed in you. So Christ, the anointing, the anointed, the ointment must be formed. Right, within I and I. But here for some Q's and A's right here. We do have Q and A's, some question and answers for this 47th. What is going on here within the gospel according to Moshe, the fifth book, Deuteronomy? That is a lot of reasoning on different platforms about what's in Deuteronomy and these laws. Are they moral? Are they immoral? Do they justify certain type of action? How are these things read? When we study it, from Shabuah to Shabuah, from strong to strong, or from week to week, we're able to more, as they say, chew the cud. You know what I mean? You know, to chew it, you know, so we can refine it, you know, and come up to that knowledge for ourselves, whether we accept it or whether we reject it, at least we're giving good and full study to it. So here for question 44 to 44 to 65.
Stay tuned for Haftarah and the Brit Hadash Aliyot.
Pause. That was actually the wrong stay tuned right there. Grab your pen and your paper, sacred scripture right here. Yes, here we go.
Stay tuned for today's lesson on the true good news of His Imperial Majesty's Christ, the Messiah, Yahushua, as proclaimed and taught by our brother, Wendon Yadon, a.k.a. Ras Iadonis Tafari, of the Lion of Judah Society. Now grab...
Open the wall.
Stone for today's lesson on the true good news of His Imperial Majesty's Christ, the Messiah, Yahushua, as proclaimed and taught by our brother, Wendell Yadon, a.k.a. Ras Iadonis Tafari, of the Lion of Judah Society. Now grab your pen, paper, and sacred scripture, the Holy Bible, and prepare to hear some of the most dynamic truth ever to hit the shores of North America since the lost black sheep of the house of Israel were sold into slavery circa 1530 AD. Pay attention, because that's the price of the truth.
Here, the judgment, that's a judgment dub right there. Just for I and I to get situated here for tonight's podcast for the itinuity, continuity from the 46, right? Some of the extra questions and reasonings that will help us better to understand, overstand, right? Here, the 47th sabbatical, we ended off with question 44, yes? So here, we have the 44 for Ikev. So here we're going from the 46, some of the extra questions. There was a total of, we have here about 65. We got to the 44th and a few of the first questions here for this 47th sabbatical study here for this Shabbat Strong. For Shabbat Re'eh, for Senbet Enecho, Sabbath See, Sabbath Behold. So here, the 46, Ikev. Question 44, going over this question again, the 44th question was, what is the Hebrew expression for the pseudonymous, pseudo, falsely, or incorrectly, falsely, nomos, falsely named, Ten Commandments? What's the Hebrew expression according to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 4? Well, it's the ten things, the ten things, ten things, ten things, 10 words, or the 10 utterances. In the Hebrew, the Aseret HaDevarim, the Aseret, more ancient pointing, Aseret, the Aseret, Aseret, 10, Ha, the Devarim, modern Hebrew, Devarim, Aseret HaDevarim, the 10, Aseret HaDevarim, the 10, the words. So it's the 10 words. Now, Devarim can mean words, like things, like a matter, like what's the matter, what's the thing, what's the word, or the ten utterances. So the Hebrew expression, the biblical Hebrew expression is Aseret HaDevarim, the ten words. So the true expression for what is called the Ten Commandments be the ten words, the ten things, the ten words, the ten utterances. Question 45, what does the phrase, quote, at that time, end quote, refer to, especially in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8? So the phrase, at that time, what does it refer to, Chaburim? What does it refer to, at that time? It's not when Aharon died. So we read this section in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 6 to 7, right? Speaking about the time when Aaron died, but then we get to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. It's not speaking of the time at that time when Aaron died, but after the Egel Maseka. The Egel Maseka. Maseka, the Egel, the calf. Maseka, the molten calf. The molten calf, falsely called the golden calf incident. So take some notes. Ten Commandments is what they say in the translation in English, not found in the Hebrew. Golden Calf is what they say in the English and the Western Gentile counterfeit Christianity. It's not what is found in the Hebrew. What's found in the Hebrew is molten calf, right, for what is falsely called, pseudonymously called, the golden calf, and what is pseudonymously falsely called in the translation, the Ten Commandments, is the Ten Utterances, the Ten Words, or to say the Ten Things. Question 46. Why did Elohim choose the tribe of Lewi, of the Levites, the Lewim, to serve him? Why did Elohim choose the tribe of Lewi, Ha-Lewim, to serve him, to serve Ha-Elohim? According to Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8, it's because they had remained loyal. So the reason why Jah chose the tribe of Levi to serve him exclusively, right, according to Brit HaYashana, is because they had remained loyal to Jah. They had remained loyal to Ha-Elohim, Ha-Elohim, to Yahweh Eloheinu, and to Moshe, and to Moses, according to Shemot, called Exodus, Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. Now note that the term Lewim, the Hebrew Lewim, in the Rural Amharic, the Book of the Seven Seals, Lewawiyan, Lewim, Lewawiyan, in the English is brought out as Levites. The Levites, and the term Levites here, is a general term that includes the four subclans, the sub-mispachot, mispachot, mispakas, subclans, subfamilies of the tribe. So when Lewim or Levite is used in this context, it's including the four subgroups or subclans or subfamilies of that tribe. So Jah had chose the tribe of Levi, right, because they had remained loyal through all the ups and downs, mix-up follies, undercrowns. They remained loyal. Here. Moshe Levi, a.k.a. Shine Pope. I'd like to share a little something right here. He speaks about the Levites, something called the Levites in Hard Times. So there Shine Paul brings out that, you know, that the Levites had a different, you could say a different spirit, similar to Caleb. He had a different spirit than in Joshua, right? But namely, Caleb is mentioned having a different spirit than those other ain't right Israelites, the ones who had the 10 who outnumbered the 2, right? Like with the Shashamani land grant, what happened in 1972, right? 1970. Yeah, so they remained loyal, right? They remained loyal. They wasn't like the Rev Rav, the mixed multitude, and the Rasha, and the wicked or defiant ones that started to complain, oh, why Moses brought us out here into the wilderness to die, rah, 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 you know, started to mix up and act a fool, right? And then when they were called on, right, they drew the sword, right, and they executed the guilty. Now, Moshe Levi, a.k.a. Shine Poe, he said, you know, execute their mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, everyone. Well, actually, it was mainly the Mandem, right, that were executed. You know, the sons of Israel that had broken their word and therefore had broken their covenant. And what do we say? Word is born and word is life. So they broke their word and therefore, especially the Yahweh, hey, they had forfeited their life. Once again, the full of the Shine Moshe Levi. Boom. Pause right here. He says a key word here. You know, he said our consummation, the consummation of our relationship. Some people want to talk about religion. We're talking about relation and revelation. The relationship, the consummation of our relationship with Hashem. You know, when you go through difficulties, semi, hear this.
Russia, where they want to turn against Moshe, and they want to say,
Because they wasn't rolling with, right, what Yisrael, what the people of Yisrael, what Jah people was to be rolling with, they had put to death the guilty, right? So is the Bible a pacifist, Torah pacifist book, right? You know, peace, you know, shalom, peace to those who are peace worthy. Otherwise, it's otherwise. So here, let's write up the question. So Levi was chosen because of their loyalty, the loyalty to Hashem, to Jah, Jehovah, and to his servant, to Moshe, and speaking about the whole tribe, right, all clans in one order, all clans, mispachot, in one order. Here, question 47. What did Moshe do the second time he went up, he aliyed up the mountain? What did he do the second time that he ascended? He aliyed up. He went up Hahar, the mountain, according to Deuteronomy 10:10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 10. Question 47. Moshe, he interceded for Amo Yisrael, for the people of Yisrael, Yasharallah, until Hailahim Eloheinu, until Jah decided not to destroy them. Moshe then descended on Yom HaKippurim, right? So we look at the time, the 40 days from that time, looking in the Torah and studying the time. This will correspond to Moshe's descent from Hahar, the mountain, on Yom HaKippurim, on the Day of Atonement, which is interesting because that would be the seventh moon, the seventh month, right? And the 10th, right, the 10th day of the seventh month with the new tablets, right, with the new tablets, and his face, Panav, Panayo, right, the ancient pointing, Panayo, modern pointing, Panav, his face shone from the Kabod of Hailahim, of the Elohim, right, his face had shined and shone from the glory, the Kabod of Elohim's forgiveness, of Hailahim's forgiveness, and from Hailahim's love. Question 48. After Moshe descended with the new tablets, the new table, the tablets, what did Hael, the Almighty, say, according to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 11? Question 48. He said, Qum lech, Qum lech, Qum lech. Arise, go, Qum. Om, arise, rise up, get up, rise. Om, lek, 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 go, arise, go. Not arise and go, arise, rise up and go. And trod, almost like rise up and walk and go. Om, lek, on your journey, at the head of Ha'am, at the head of Jah people, so that Yisrael, Yasharallah, would inherit the land. So Moshe, after Moshe descended with the new tablets, what did Yahuwah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name. What did Hashem say? He said, Qum lek, arise, go on your trod. Go on yad and go on trident at the head of Ha'am, at the head of Jah people, so that Yisrael, Yasharallah, so that Israel would inherit the land. Now note that there is no mention of Moshe's protests. Alright? There's no mention of Moses' protests. Moses' protests? His protests, right, in Exodus is that Ha'ilahim, Ha'el's angel, the Malak Panav, Malaki Panav, Malak Panayo, the angel of the presence, the angel of the face, that extraordinary angel would lead Ha'am, would lead Jah people, according to Exodus chapter 32, verses 34, and in some of the Chumash, there's some interesting footnotes, because in the earlier narrative, because here's after like the 40 years, here Moshe is speaking to a whole new generation. Some people say, well, this, what he says here doesn't agree with what was said before. But you have to read. You have to study. You have to put it into context. You can't just go to one verse here and one verse here. That may fool a fool who hasn't spent time studying. But we in the study, we recognize that, yes, here in Moses speaking to a new generation, he's making no mention of the protests that Yahuwah, Jehovah's angel, right, his angel, the Malak Panayo, the angel of his presence, the angel of the face. And here in Ionized theology, we see this as the pre-incarnate, that word, right, Yeshua, the pre-incarnate, the angel in the bush, right, the one who Yaakov Abinu, the patriarch, speaks about, how that angel had redeemed him. Now, which angel is speaking of? We're speaking of the one, basically, that for most part never gives his name. So we're not talking about Raphael, as some people believe, right? We're not talking about Uriel or Gabriel, right? Or even the one that some of the later-day Jews, they say Metatron. Even though the Metatron connection, right, amongst the latter-day Jews does point to the same angel, right, that angel of the presence, the angel of the face, right, that pre-incarnate, the pre-incarnate Emmanuel, the pre-incarnate, that angel of the presence, the angel of the face. So Moses doesn't speak on that particular angel. Now, where do we find the angel as well? We find him in the book of Jubilees, Metzafe Kufale Iyobelu. We find him there as well. In fact, what's interesting is that the data that we get in the Ethiopic Book of Jubilees, right, it helps us to get the fuller full. Now, remember, these were ancient scrolls and documents. We know they was known to the Israelites, right, of Ethiopia, right, as those books were first found before they found what they call the Dead Sea Scrolls and found some fragments and other parchments that corroborated the Israelites of Ethiopia testimony with the books of Hanok, the books of Enoch, and the books of Kufale, the books of division, or the book of Jubilees, called Little Genesis. But that angel is found there, and that's the angel that the Father, Elohim Ha'ab, commands the angel of the presence, the angel of the face, the angel that spoke to Moshe out of the bush, the angel that said to him that I was known by my name El Shaddai, but by my name Yahuwah, I was not known to them. And Moshe turned away, because here that divinity of the Ab and the Bane, the Ab, the Father and the Bane, the Abane, that stone, the Father and the Son is being revealed. So here, question 49. Now, in light of Yisrael Yasharala's history, what does Ha'ilahim require of them? So in light of their narrative, in light of Ainai, the Hebrew narrative here in HaTorah and in the Hebrew scriptures, in light of Yisrael's history, what does Jah require of them according to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 13, Chaburim, to fear mo better, that's the English translation, to yare, to have that yirat, right, yirat, that reverence, that respect, to respect, to reverence Yahweh, to reverence Yahuwah, to reverence Jehovah, to walk, right, in his ways, to trod in his trod, to walk in his ways, to yad in his yad, to love him, to serve him with all your heart, and to keep the commandments. So what does Yahweh, in light of Yisrael Yasharala's history, what does he require of them and I and we? Well, firstly, foremostly, to reverence, to respect Yahweh, to respect Jehovah, 1. To walk to tried in his ways, 2. To love him, 3. To serve him with all your heart, 4. And to keep the commandments, to keep his mitzvotayo, to keep his imperatives. It's like what we have right here. Divine Majesty, Kedemawi Hala Selassie, says that Yeshua the same today, yesterday, forever. Hear this word right here. Those are the requirements there, to reverence or respect Jehovah, he who be, who he be, his divine majesty. To walk the tribe in all his ways, to yad in all his yad, to tribe in all his ways, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart to call, and to keep his commandments is imperative. And then the audible, what does Kedemawi Hala Selassie, Negusa Negestachin, says to I and I, right, to fulfill the 10 words, the 10 commandments. Question 50, the 50th question. What makes the children of Yisrael unique? What makes the children of Yisrael, the children of Israel, Yasharala, unique? Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 14 to 15. Elohim, Ha'el, the Almighty, chose Yisrael. Ha'el chose Yisrael above all other peoples of the earth, of the earthly plane, to be his own treasured people. This and this only is Yahuwah Jehovah's choice. Not Yasharala, Yisrael's righteousness, or we better, or we had more numbers than other people, or we was most ancient, or we started out civilization, or any of that rah, rah, rah. No, it's because Yahuwah Jehovah had chose Yisrael above all other peoples of the earth. Why? To be his own peculiar, his own treasured people. Question 51. What does it mean, Chabarim, to circumcise your heart? What does it mean to circumcise? This is an important verse right here in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Lamazeh. Why? Why so? Why that? Why is it important? Because in the Brit Chadasha and in Christianity, you hear a lot of talk about, oh, it's not like the Jews talk about circumcising, you know, the foreskin, you know, of the member, you know. But they make it seem as though it's something new, right? It's been renewed, yes. You know what I mean? Something you have to renew something. As we have the covenant, remember the two tablets that they received before, how with the Egel Masecha, they had broken it with a molten calf. Moshe went up for another 40 days. Yahuwah wrote on these other tablets. He came down again with it. And the covenant, right, the Berit, was effectively renewed, right? I like to use this example in the linguistics, the word adas, mades, adese, chadesh, chadash. We say the brit chadasha, we say the adis, from the same root as chadash, chadish, to new, to renew. It's like when you fix a tire, you know, you ever get a flat tire, right, and you repair the hole or what, the breach that was in the tire, you repair that, right, and then they, you know, you blow up the tire again, and it's basically, it's, you could say it's the same tire, but the flat has been fixed and it has been renewed. This is the sense, the Hebrew sense of the new. So when we talk about the Brit Chadasha, it's not in counterfeit Christianity sense, because as Rabbeinu Yeshua HaNotzri says, he says to the Samaritan woman, y'all worship that which you know not. We know we worship the salvation of the Yehudi, is of the Jews. So we have to see it in its proper context. So here, the 51st question here for the Shabbat Aikev, what does it mean to circumcise your heart? What does it mean? It means to, in one sense, to soften the heart, right? To, quote, cut away, to go around it, right? Circumcise, like circumference, to go around it, right? And to cut away the thickening part of the self, of the ego, of the he-go, of there she go, that blocks access to Ha'el, Ha'ilahim, to the Almighty's truth, to the Almighty's reality. So what does it mean, Chaverim, to circumcise your heart, for us to circumcise I and I heart, to make the heart more iritically, spiritually sensitive by going around and cutting away the sickening part of the self, right, of the ego, of the ego, of the shego, that blocks, right, that blocks access, the sensitivity, access to Ha'el, Ha'ilahim's truth, right, as well as the clean, you know, keep it clean, Chaverim. It's like Psalm 24 here, love Queen Machida, right, Nik'i kapayim ubar lebab, Nik'i kapayim, clean hands, right, ubar lebab. Ubar levav, and a purify, to purify the heart, go around it, right? Know thyself, know thy heart. Go around it and cut away the thickening part of the self that blocks access to Shah's truth, to the really real reality. Question 52. Moshe, he described Yahweh, Yahuwah, Hashem, as the God of gods, and as the Lord of Lords. What attributes, what midot are associated with these titles in the text? According to the text we have in Deuteronomy Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 to verse 19. Verse 17 to verse 19. Let's get our sword right here. Give me one moment, brothers and sisters. Going to get the hard copy right here. We like to go into this verse. Important verse here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where do we put it? Where is it? So this question here, important question, is probably staring me right in the face. You know, we have these books here so we can build on it. Give me one moment, brothers and sisters. Here we go to testify. So we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17. Got the Chumash in hand. Chapter 10, verse 17. So here, chapter 10 and verse 17, Chaberim. Let's go to verse 17 right here, here, here. For the Lord your God, he is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty and the awful, who, or the awesome, the dreadful in that sense, who regardeth not faces or persons, nor taketh reward. So here, ki Yahuwah Elohekem huwa Eloheya ha Elohim awa Doneya ha Donim Ha'el ha-gadol ha-gibor V'hanora asher loa yisafanim v'loa yikach shochad. So here, the full of full. So he is God of gods, or Elohei Elohim ha Elohim. Elohei ha Elohim, the Elohim of the Elohim, the Elohim of Elohim, the nature of natures. Right, the Elohim of Elohim, wa Adonai, and the Adonai, and the Lord of Ha'adonim, and the Lord of the Lords, the Sovereign of the Sovereigns, the Master of the Master, va Adonai Ha'adonim, wa Adonai Ha'adonim, Ha'el, the Great God, Ha'el, the El, the Power, Ha'gadol, Ha'gadol, Ha'el Ha'gadol, Ha'el Ha'gadol. He is Ha'el, Ha'el, Ha'el Ha'gadol. He is the great power, the great God, the great Almighty, the big up power, the big up Almighty. Ha'el Ha'gadol, Ha'gibor, He is HaGibor. He is the Gibor. He is the mighty, the vigorous, the mighty HaGibor. He is the Gibor, the mighty. With HaNora. And he is Nora, HaNora. He is the awful, the terrible, the dreadful, the dreadsome. So this is the sense of the dread, like awe-inspiring. He is awful. With HaNora, Asher, Asher, the one who lo yisah, fanim. He is the one who does not lift up faces or shows like a regard, right, to faces. That's translated often as partiality to persons. He doesn't show partiality to faces. Asher, lo yisah fanim. Don't lift up faces. Velo, and no, and not, yikach. And he does not take, velo yikach, shochad. And he does not take a shochad. He don't take a bribe. You can't bribe him. He don't take a reward. Velo yikach, velo yikach, shochad. He does not take a reward. He has no regard of persons, of faces, or favoritism to faces. If they cast off his yoke, if they cast off his yoke, his discipline, his musar, and cannot be appeased, he cannot be appeased by bribery. You can't bribe him. This is why it says, velo yikach shochad. He doesn't take a reward. He don't take a gubo. He don't take a bribe. He does not condone the wicked, the rasha, the ratchet acts, defiant acts of a man, because Abiv, his father was pious. His father was a tzaddik. His father was righteous. Nor does he overlook a transgression, because the sinner, the akka, also performed a meritorious deed. In other words, just because I may have done something right, something good that had great merit in the past, if we uck up now, you know, we can't try to use that to bribe him. Remember what I did before? That was a great thing then. Don't look at, no. Judgment. So here. Elohim is just and impartial. This is to bring out the sense here from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 17, right? Slika, Deuteronomy chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 17 to 19, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 to 19, where Yahuwah, Jehovah, is described as being Elohe ha-Elohim, right? The Elohim of Elohim, the Netcher of Netchers, Wa-Adonai ha-Adonim. And he is the Lord of Lords, the Sovereign of Sovereigns, the Master of Masters. This is to say that Ha-El, Ha-El, the power of the Almighty is just, righteous, just, and impartial, right? Don't show no partiality. He's impartial and is not subject to bribery. I mean, look at this. Look at this, people. He chose Israel. He chose our patriarchs, our forefathers. He swore by his own self. He sevented himself. He, in a sense, bound himself by his own word. But yet, even in today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, we get to see the contrast that when the sons, when the children go away from that, he is just, he is righteous. So this shows that even to I and I, Yisrael, to Yasharala, that he says in his own word, he has made us Elohim. He has made us most high above all nations, and our king, our anointed king, right, from that seed of David, of David, is Elyon, is most high as he is El Elyon. And even though he is most high, right, and Yisrael is said to be made most high above all peoples, and our king, our Davidic anointed Messiah king is Elyon. He is most high above all the kings and rulers, potentates, whatever they want to call themselves, presidents, prime ministers of this earth, of this earthly plane. But then, when we go off, right, even after 400 plus years, what does he do? He remains just and impartial and not subject to any bribery, even from I and I. He has punished I and I. So let that be a lesson to all nations. He cares for the downpressed, for the orphan, for the widow, for the stranger, the ger. Yisrael Yasharala is particularly, we are told, right, we are commanded and told to love the stranger, the ger, right? Why? Because we were once strangers in Mitzrayim. We were once strangers in the Kemet, the Hikapata, Egypt, Egypt, and Gibbet, according to Exodus, Shemot 23 and 9. And here, when it says, he cares for the downpressed, I and I, Rastafari, I called chosen and faithful. What we talk about, the creed, right? To keep the creed, right? So here, this is a segue. So ones who haven't got ear to hear or haven't heard before can hear. This is the credo right here. All right, let the hungry be fed. Yeah.
Blessed be our people, manufactured and Abla and Princess has come out of Egypt. Ethiopians now stretch his foot here unto God. O God of Ethiopia, our divine majesty, thy spirit has come into our heart to dwell in the path of righteousness, Jesus. Help us to forgive that we must be forgiven. Teach us love, loyalty, on earth as it is in Zion. Endure us with thy wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to do thy will. Thy blessing to you, that the hungry be fed, the naked be clothed, sick, nourish, the aged protected, and the infant cared for. Deliver us from the hands of our enemies, that we may prove fruitful in these last days, when our enemies are past and decayed, in the depths of the sea, in the depths of the earth, or in the bowels of a beast. Oh, give us all a place in thy kingdom forever. Selah. Let the word of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Jah, thou art the strength and our Redeemer that liveth and reigneth in the heart of man.
I and I testifying right here. Got a couple more questions before we ride up with today's daily psalm. And today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, really, really interesting. It has like two parts. I think previously came up within this season right here. And we touched on a few, maybe a week or two or so ago, according to the royal order. And Psalm 89 is really, really very interesting because it really brings out this point of Yahuwah and Eloheinu's, his impartiality in Psalm. He's more the faith, meditation and national adversity among national adversaries. There's two divisions that are clearly marked out in Psalm 89, Mizmor Faith 8, with the break, Hebraically at verse 39 and the KJV at verse 38. The first section, it deals with the past Israel's past history, in which the two attributes of Ha-Elohim, mercy and faithfulness, were abundantly demonstrated in his relationship with Yasharala, with Yisrael. In particular, the promise, the yea, yea, the amen, amen, to Dawid, to David, Dawid HaMelech, that his throne would endure forever to time indefinite, is recalled in today's daily psalm. Then comes the second section with a disillumined, a darkened picture of the nation's vicissitudes and the overthrow of the kingdom, the overthrow of the government by a triumphant enemy. So glaring is the contrast between the yea, yea, the amen, and its frustration that the psalmist and I must give utterance to. I perplexity is a perplexity that's uttered in today's daily psalm, Mizmor Pe'eit, in forceful language. And then finally praying to Ha'elohim, to Eloheinu, that he will remember Amo, his people, Jah people, in their adversity and even amongst their adversaries. The circumstances, they point to the time of the nation, the national downfall before the Babylonians. So here we're looking at the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Yehuda, the kingdom of we, the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah, there, some say, in the Levant, before they was taken into captivity by Babylon. So what's interesting about today's daily psalm, as we scroll through it right here, right, you scroll through it right here, it has verses like this. In verse 28, here in the Hebrew, corresponding with verse 27 in the King James Version, I will also appoint him firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Af ania bekora etanehu elyon lemalke aret. I also will appoint, for sure, af ani, for sure, I myself, bekor, the bekor is like the firstborn, bekor, etanehu, I will give him etanehu as bekor, as firstborn. And here, the second part of Psalm 89 in the King James Version, verse 27 in the Hebrew, verse 28, where it reads, Elyon le malkei aret, Elyon, most high of the kings of the earth. And this is now in direct connection with the Davidic covenant, the covenant with Dawid, that picks up and begins in today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, King James Version at verse 19. At verse 19 all the way to verse 37, where we then get after that the second part, the contrast, where it says, forever will I keep for him my mercy, chasdi, my covenant, my veriti, shall stand firm with him. His seed, his race also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of Shemayim. If, now here's the condition, right, KJV verse 30, the Hebrew verse 31, if his children forsake my law and walk not in mine ordinances, im ya'azvu, vanav, torati, if they leave, Torati, my Torah, my direction, instruction. Ima ya'azvu banayo Torati. Uavir mishapatai, and my judgments, my ordinance, my judgment, and in my judgment, uva mishapatai, uavir mishpatai, and in my judgments, lo, no, yelechun. Lo yelechun, lo yelekun, lo yelekun, and not halaka, yalak, not trod, if they don't walk, and they walk not in my judgments. Next verse, if they profane my statutes, im ochukotai, Hukotai. Ye halelu. Ye halelu. Not halal, but ha, ha. Not ha, but ha. Close the fence. Ye halelu. Ye halelu. If they profane. Literally, the halal, halal, means to pour, bore holes in it, right? If they bore holes in it, right? Profaning. Chukotai. And keep not my commandments. U mitzvotai, mitzvotai, lo, yishamoru. And not yishmoru, not hedging, not guarding, not protecting. If they keep not my commandments, what's going to happen? Here, KJV verse 32, Hebraically verse 33, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with strokes, but my mercy will I not break off from him, nor will I be false, nor will I be pseudo to my faithfulness. Mention the word faithful, be'emunati, be'emunati, emuna is also faith. I mean faithfulness, my trustworthiness, my credit worthiness, my amen worthiness. I will not be false to my faithfulness. My covenant will I not profane, Yahuwah Hashem says, nor alter that is gone out of my lips. This is use of a vow. Recall, Chabarim, in Numbers chapter 30, verse 13, that which is gone out of my lips, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth, nor alter that which is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, once, one time, achat, nisha bayati, b'kadeshi, in my Adishi, my set apartness, surely I will not be false to Dawid. I will not be false to David, to David. Im lid Dawid. Akhazev. 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 Right? I will not lie. Right? Not be false. Right, if to David I lie, the sense of it, I will not lie. I will not lie to Dawid. Verse 37 here, Hebraically, corresponding to King James Version, Psalm 89, verse 36. His seed, his race shall endure forever to time indefinite. And his throne as the sun, his throne is not the sun, but his throne is like the sun. And his throne as the sun before me, before I. Zar'o le'olam. Yihyeh. Yihyeh. It will be. Yihyeh. Zar'o. His seed. His zar. Zara. His seed. Zar'o le'olam. To the world without end, to time indefinite. Yihyeh. Yihyeh. Right? Will endure. It will be. It will be, it will be, what it will be, it will be. V'kiso, 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 with and kiso and his throne. Ka shemesh, ka shemesh, like the shemesh, like the sun. Negdi, negdi, before, in front of I, before I. It shall be established forever as the moon. And be steadfast, be firm, as the witness. As the witness in the sky, Selah, Selah. Now, here's where this big contrast comes in, right? When we get to the KJV, verse 37, the Hebrew verse 38, the next verse says, but thou, but the I, v'ata, but the I has cast off and rejected. V'ata, zanachta, v'timas, v'timas. And rejected. Thou has been wrought, rotted. Hita abarta. Hita avarta. Hita barta ben hat, roth. Im mishecheka. Im with mishecheka. Im mishecheka. You have been wroth with your Messiah. With mishecheka. Thou hast abhorred the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown even to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his fences. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. I mean, look, for example, at Ethiopia. 3,000 years. Look at these last 100 years. Chant. All that pass by the way spoil him. They snatch and take for themselves. He has become a taunt, a byword, a derision, a reproach to his neighbors. All right. We'll get into that a little bit more as today's daily song, but just to show the segue right here, we're at question 52, where Moshe describes Yahweh as the Elohei HaElohim, as the Adonai HaAdonim, as the Elohim of Elohim, the Netcher of Netchers, as Adonai HaAdonim, as the Master of Masters, the Sovereign of Sovereign. So what other attributes are associated with these titles in the text? According to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 to 19. Verse 18 says, he doth execute justice for the fatherless and widow, and love the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Rastafari creed, the creed, right? Keep the creed. Verse 19, love you all, therefore the stranger. For y'all were strangers in the land of Mitzrayim, in the land of Kemet, in the land of Mitzrayim. Question 53. What is Yisrael's praise? What is Isis? What is our praise according to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21? What is Ainai praise? What is Ainai Isis? Yahweh alone. He who be who he be alone is I and I praise, is I and I Isis. He who be who he be, who? He is the proper object of Yisrael, of Yasharallah's glorification. Have this from Berit HaYeshana, from what they call the Old Testament to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31. Compare, contrast that with Yeremiah. Ermias, Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 to 24. Verses 23 to 24. And here's the verse in Devarim in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10 at verse 21. It says, who? He. Tehilatika. The halal. Tehilatika. The tehillah. Tehillah. Halal, the ilil, the exaltation, the praise, who, he himself and none other, who, tehilateka, he is the I praise, with who, and he, Eloheka, and he is thy Elohim, thy true God, asher asa itika, etaha, Gedolot, gedolota, ve'etaha noraota, ha'ele, asher, ra'u, eineka, ra'u, eineka. He is thy glory, he is thy Elohim, that have done for thee I these great and tremendous things that thine eyes have seen. Interesting here, Chabarim, who's going over the Ikev, right? The 46 for the continuity, and here we're at the 47th for the Shabbat Re'eh. Is saying to one man or many men as one man in this Hebrew, this corporate sense of all call Yisrael as one man. We're members of the body that Moshiach is the Rosh, is the head of, saying to Re'eh, to see. But here, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21, where it reads, who, tehilateka, v'huwa eloheka, asher asai, teka, eta ha gedolota, ve'eta ha noraota, ha'ele, asher ra'u, aineka. Ra'u, y'all seeing, ra'u, aineka, that y'all eyes have seen the tremendous things that your eyes have seen. So he is, right, wuhu haya, wuhu hoveh, Wuhu Yihye Betifera in Tifera in Tafari. Yes I Rastafari Tifere. Tafari. Metifera Tafari. Betifera, Teferi, Tefarai. One more time. And where do we find that? In the scripts and also on the Eitz Chaim, on the tree, on the tree, on the tree. Even the tree of life and liberty, the Tiferet. So he is Ein I praise. He is Ein I Tehillah, Tehillah. He is our exaltation. Exalt him. He is I and I Isis. Question 54. What is the primary duty given to Yisrael, Yasharal? The first duty given to Yisrael according to Deuteronomy, Devarim 11 and 1? To love Yahweh, Yahweh, Jehovah, and to, quote, keep his charge, end quote, by means of obedience to his commandments, to his imperatives. Now, when it says to keep his charge, right, v'shamarta mishamarto, mishmarto, mishmarto, to keep his charge. This is like a commission. To bring it like up to date, like with how we use language today, corresponding to like a charge, is like keep his commission. So Yisrael is like a commissioned officer. All of I and I is one man. And the primary duty given to Amo Yisrael is to keep his charge, keep his commission. And how do we keep his commission? By means of the Shema Yisrael, right? Tishmeun, the obedience to mitzvotayo, to his mitzvotav, to his imperative, to his commandments. As Gormawi Nugus Neges, the King of Kings, says, my advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Question 55, Chabarim. Why did Moshe remind Ha'am, the people, even this whole new generation, the children of the old timers that wandered to death for 40 years in the wilderness, right? But why does Moses right here in the Shabbat Aikev, why does he remind Ha'am, the people of Datan and Abiram, here, in verse 6, right, of chapter 11, verse 6, he says this right here, and what he did to Datan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and every living substance that followed them in the midst of Kol Yisrael, in the midst of all Yasharal, in the midst of all of Israel. Why, Moshe? Why does he remind the people, this whole new generation? Many of them were very young. Some of them may not have been born, right, as of yet, or very young when this happened back then. Right? Why does Moses choose this particular instance to remind them of Datan and Abiram here? Moshe used the swallowing up incident where the earth, she opened her mouth. She said, enough of this nonsense talk. Chah gave me a charge to swallow you up. Moses, he used the swallowing up of Datan and Abiram, warning, as a warning, or we could say as a caution. A caution, right, to caution Ha'am, to caution Jah people not to rebel, right, not to rebel, because the place for you, the earth, you know, she'll swallow you up too. Note that Moshe's cousin, what's up, cuz? Korach, the cousin of Moshe. He was the instigator. It's a family affair, yeah. The instigator of this rebel lion, this rebellion. It goes unmentioned here. So now Moshe, giving this narrative here, he doesn't bring out what we already know from the previous right, the previous narrative. He doesn't bring out Korah. So to a new generation, he's selecting, right, he's selecting certain lessons. It's like if you live through people's parents, you're there with the children, right? You already knew their parents, like it's Moshe reaching 120, right? And you're trying to give the children some points of advice, some good advice and everything. You're not going to go through everything. Plus, it's already written. It's been written. You say, who wrote the Torah? How come Moses write? You don't read. Really, come on now. Come on. We say Moses wrote this. They wrote that. The Levites wrote this. Joshua wrote that. Everybody's writing. The Israelite sons are told to write these things on their gates. So maybe in these other cultures, only the priests were literate. But that wasn't the case of Yasher Allah. That wasn't the case of Israel, at least not then. Maybe now we have to up our reading, comprehension into all the once lost, now found. Have no shame in that. If one's reading is not up to par, there's a lot of interesting programs out there. One can go get their GED, get their reading up. Come on now. You don't let these fools make you feel foolish, right? Only foolish if you know what you should do and you don't do what you should do. But here, he doesn't mention Korah, which is an interesting note right here. Question 56. What do you think, quote, the whole commandment means in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8? Now, most think when it says the whole commandment, most people think that this is a synonym, right? Like this is a same word for the entire set of the Torot, direction instructions, of the chukot or the chukim, of the statutes or the mishpotim or the rules or the judgments that occupy habrit, that occupy, right, or rather that accompany, right, in this sense of accompany, right, the covenant that was given at Har Sinai. Most people think that where it reads in Deuteronomy chapter 11 at verse 8, therefore shall y'all keep all the commandment that I command thee this day, that ye that y'all may be strong, and go in and possess the land, whitherwhere y'all go over to possess it, to possess her. Now let's over this. Can we take Yahuwah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem at his word? He says, therefore shall y'all keep all the commandments. We already see the example of the new generation of the youths. The youths are a little more Torah observant, and they're on the march. They're getting victory, right? They're kicking, you know, we could say, you know, the asses of these other tribes, you know, that laugh and mocking them and everything, you know, and they're taking names, and the names are in the narrative because they are showing more fidelity, right, more loyalty to Yahweh. So the new generation, as the Rasta elder said, Jah calls on the youths because they are strong. So this is a beautiful contrast. Most people miss this contrast between the old heads, the elders, and the youngins. In this case, these youngins are dutiful youngins. You know how most time people think like the youths don't appreciate what the elders did. Well, Moses is saying, hey, youths, y'all really need to appreciate, in other words, really understand what your parents did. And he's giving them these direction instructions. And here he's saying, therefore, you shall keep all the commandment, which in some translation is brought out as keep the whole commandment. Ua shamartem, and y'all to shamar to hedge about. Ua shamartem et kol ha mitzvah. Kol ha mitzvah. Now, something that here it actually says all the commandment. I want to point that out. Not all the commandments, right? It says kol ha-mitzvah. What is the commandment, brothers and sisters? The 10 words. The 10 words is the commandment. James, in the epistle of James, in the New Testament, where he says, if you break one, you break all. What is he quoting? He's quoting the Esaret HaDibarim. He's quoting the 10 words, which is known as the commandment. Because the essence, right, the essence. In other words, if we were able to fulfill the 10 words, all the rest will be just commentary and case study. The 10 words is the core, is the heart of the matter, because that is the words that he spoke with his own mouth. And those words, when he spoke, the people, you know, their hearts failed them. They asked for Moshe to be their mediator. because of what they heard. It says here that I command thee this day that y'all may be strong. Y'all may be strong. Asher anoki mitzawka hayom lima'an techezko techezko. Y'all may be chazak, chazak, techezku, that y'all may be strong. U'avatem, and go in, via rishtem, we're rishtem, and inherit et ha'aret, the land asher, that which atem, right? That which you all atem, speaking to all of this new generation. Asher atem, all of y'all, ovrim. Obrim, obrim, aber, aber, akhebere, to cross over. Obrim, obrim, shama, cross over. Zeya, le rishtaha, to inherit ha. So some think that this is a synonym for the entire set of the laws, all the laws, the statutes, the judgments. Some count 613 chaberim. We say yes, in that synonymous sense it is, but in the direct sense it's speaking to the heart of HaTorah. It's speaking to the Asaret HaDevarim. It's speaking to the ten words, even those ten. Remember the 10 words? That His Majesty, Kedemawi Hala Salasi, remind I and I and we, the line of the tribe of Judah.
Call ha mitzvah.
You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments, of the Ten and Man. Elaborate on.
So here, testimony, testifying and elaborating on Jah's testimony, because this is the testimony we must testify. Remember, He gave I and I a charge. Question 57. What makes you strong and imparts longevity? Now, notice it said in Deuteronomy 11 and 8, it says right here, it says, therefore shall y'all keep all the commandment that I command thee, I, this day, that ye, you all may be strong, may be strong, and go in. And possess. Oh, that's it. Too much weakness, weak heart. Too much weak heartedness. Once lost, now found. Too much weak heartedness. Right? He says, keep the mitzvah. If we keep the mitzvah, then we'll be strong. So all the things that hold back the once lost, right, now found, but want to act like they still lost, you know, is that weakness. As the elders said, that weak heartedness, because you're not writing these words in your heart, so you have a weak heart. You can't face the enemy. You can't even figure out what the enemy is doing until it's too late, right? Because you don't walk Yahweh, truth, and life. So the next question here is, well, what makes you strong? What makes you strong? What imparts longevity? Here, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Read verse 8. Verse 9 says, and that y'all may prolong your days up on the land that Yahuwah Jehovah swore to your fathers, your patriarchs, to give to them and to their seed and to their race a land flowing with milk and honey. So the question still, what makes you strong? You become chazak. The answer is actually in Deuteronomy chapter 11, the verse before, verse 8. You become chazak, strong. When you obey Jah's instruction, I and I will become strong, right? When I and I obey Yahweh's, Jehovah's instruction, he who be, we be. When I and I, Rastafari, obey His Majesty's instruction, for my part I glory in the Bible, fulfill the 10 words, the 10 commandments. This is how we become chazak. That's why that previous generation, first proclaimers, that's why they were strong, right? And they lacked a lot of things that we have now. We have more things, more access to knowledge and information. They shall go to and fro, and knowledge increase. We got more knowledge, but it's more weakness. It's more weakness and wanting to turn them back, going to Kemet, right? You see, when we study Torah the right way, we learn the truth about Mitzrayim, the truth about Kemet, and also the truth about black culture. So you become strong, chazak, when you obey Yahuwah's instruction. As it says in verse 8, therefore shall you keep all the commandments that I command thee this day, that ye may be strong. Ushamartem et kola ha mitzvah. Asher anokia mitzauka hayom lima'an techezku, so y'all may be chazak techezku. Question 58. What did Moses, how did Moses describe the land of Mitzrayim, of Kemet, of Egypt? And how did he contrast this with the promised land? According to Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 to 12. Mitzrayim, Egypt, was an arrogated land. Egypt was an arrogated land where seed was sown, quote, like a garden of vegetables. So the key, quote, is like a garden of vegetables. So Mitzrayim, Egypta, the Hekapita Gibbets, was an arrogated land. Kemet was an arrogated land, and was arrogated because of the highlands of Tobia, of Ethiopia, an arrogated land where seed was sown like a garden of vegetables. Canaan, the Canaanu, is a land of hills and valleys that drinks water by the rain from Shemayim, from the heavens, a land that Yahuwah, Jehovah Atzmo, himself cares for. This is why when they slander the Etobah, the Tobah, Tobia, the good, the good land, this is why it was so, when you say they slander, he said they blaspheme, they slandered the land because this is the land that he cares for. They slandered, they spoke ill of something that he cares for. Question 59, what does Ha'el Ha'el, right, have his eye on every day? Every day, every day of the year, right? Deuteronomy 11 and 12. What does Ha'elohim have his eye on every day of the year? Well, the promised land, the land, the land, 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 land. It's all about the real estate, the land, the promised land given to Yasharala, given to Yisrael. Question 60. What does Ha'el Ha'elohim promise? His yea, yea, his amen, amen, if, that's a conditional, if it's your choice, all right? If I and we love and obey and shema and obey him. Deuteronomy Devarim 11, chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. What does Jah promise? He will give the rains in their seasons to refresh the land and to produce bountiful crops. So who causes famine? Who causes famine? Is it God or is it man? That's what His Majesty Haile Selassie asked him when they was blaming him for the drought in Ethiopia, right? That's because certain things were changing. Ones were, it's like the Israelites, like in this, you know, they received of the good, but then they decided their free choice. Remember, there's that free choice. They decided, you know, to refuse, right? And therefore they lose. He will give the rains in their season to refresh the land. So even the rain in its season, right? Not out of season, when it says that in the last days, the seasons will be out of season. Because humanity is more and more in their uckery. They're out of order. You shall eat and be full. Yahuwah Jehovah also promises, give his yea, yea, his amen, amen, that he would drive out the inhabitants of the land. According to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 22 to 25. A couple more questions to get through this right here, for the continuity, itinuity purposes in our studies. Question 61. Moshe, he warns us, I and I, against our hearts being deceived? Can you become heartically deceived? Moshe warns us against our hearts, our minds, our feelings, emotion, our minds, right? Our hearts being diseased, deceived, right? Well, deceived is that disease. By what? By what? According to Deuteronomy 11 and 16, Moshe, he warns us against turning aside after Elohim Acharim, after other Elohim, other people's Elohim, other idea. You know, hear people say, we all worship one God. What's their name? You know, people say, see, when the Bible says, the scripture says, in the New Testament especially, there's, for us, right, in Robeinu Yeshua HaNotri, there is one Elohim, even Elohim Ha'ab. But even Paul says so, and the scripts say so, from the new to the old to the new, that no matter however many gods or lords there be, like for other peoples, remember, he is the God of gods, so there must be other gods, right? But he is the, before him, there was none, and truly after him, there be none. So he warns us of turning aside, right? This turning aside has a kind of a sense in the scripture of like committing like, like, say, a man, say, his wife, when, you know, is going to next man to husband her, you know, if you know what I mean. Now, I mean, you know, that's what this word, it has that sense of turning aside. So it's like saying the sons of Yisrael have become like unfaithful wives, unfaithful women. In other words, it's like saying, you know, they become bitch ass. Just to put it in the language you could understand, the time is getting late, you know, turning aside after Elohim Acharim, especially on account of lust. We're not just talking about sexual lust, but craving. You know, like when you hear some of one say, well, the white man does it, the white man get away with it. Like, what you craving after? You want to be a white man? Then you say, we better than this, and we that, and we the first. And then you always comparing yourself to him. It's like lowered expectations. Turning aside after Elohim Acharim is lowered expectation, especially on account of lust, covetousness, desire to have something that's not yours, right, and not even good for you. Note that the word for deceived here in the Hebrew is patach, patach. Now, patach, right, in the Hebrew, fetach, like the fetah, it means to open, to unloosen. Now, this here, it's related, the patach, right, the patach, right, patach is related to peor, peor, right, as in Baal peor, as well to the Hebrew word peti, peti. The Hebrew word peti is like when in the translation it says like in the simple, you know what it says, the simple, to say like the foolish. But literally in the Hebrew, it's bringing out the sense the peti, 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 it's a pity, pity. Pity, pity, they're so petty, petty. Hebraically speaking, they're so foolish. They're so patach. They're so open, right? Patach, right? Patach, 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 here, soft, patach, right? They're so open. That means they're open to any suggestion, right? They can be open to a good suggestion, but it could be any suggestion that they're open to. It's like people say, have an open mind, so to speak. They're patach, right? Patach, they're open. It's like the Baal Peor, the Lord of the opening, right? To petty, right? They're foolish, open to any and every suggestion. That's what Moshe, he warns us about, being petty, petty, pity, pity, being foolish, open to any even stupid suggestions. Like people talking about, oh, the Ten Commandments came from the 42 negative confession. First of all, confession and commandments not even the same class. Now, talking about sins or whatnot, yeah, I guess a lot of people talk about what they do bad. But if I talk about what I do bad or what I haven't done and you was given commandments not to do it, I don't think of it as the same. I basically didn't do it. You're told not to do it. Who knows whether you would do it or not? Now, somebody picks up on me saying, I haven't done it to fool some underworld gods. You believe in that? Hey, it's a Torah for us, not a funeral program. Question 62. Yes, I was talking about the Per Im Heru. Yeah, it's not meant for really any of us or any of them living, but only for the dead. Where's the Egyptian Bible? I see a lot of the Kemetics like to go to the Bible. Where's their Bible? Why don't some of you guys put together all these writings into a book so we can also say, go to chapter such and such, since y'all use the Torah to try to say you understand ancient Egypt by some crazy reverse engineering, right, that you got from the same European that has used Egyptology to confuse you from your real identity. Question 62, what would happen if Jah people turned aside? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 17, Ha'el, Ha'el's wrath, he would go Ham. He would go Ham on them. Yeah, use the Hebrew word, even in the English context. He would go Ham. He would go Ham on them. He would be hot, right? His wrath will be kindled. He'll go Ham, right? First, the people, Jah people, would experience drought, right? Or drought. They would experience drought. Does this sound familiar, right, with what happened in Ethiopia during the time of the godless and the creeping serpentine coup against the King of Kings of Ethiopia? And if they did not repent, if they didn't do teshuva, nitzhagibu, Ethiopia wehoi, they would then repent, right, have a change of mind or think different, Ha'el, Ha'el, the Almighty, would exile them. They would go into exile from the land. The first time in recorded history that one of the ancient nations and ancient peoples, speaking about the Ethiopians, went into exile, into foreign lands, corresponding with the godless and creeping coup against his divine majesty, and also corresponding with the drought that happened that they try to blame on the one who they say is just a man. So if he's just a man, then how are you blaming this on Haile Selassie I? But if y'all were in this Hebrew and Israelite covenant, maybe this is what it means, Hebrew Israelites, Yasharala, Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 12. Ye Ethiopians also shall be slain by my sword. What is the sword of Yahuwah, of Jehovah? Is it not the word? So, what would happen if the people, if Jah people, even in the highlands of Tobi of Ethiopia, the Israelites of Ethiopia, even if they, after so many thousands of years, if they turn aside, what would happen? Well, Ha'el Ha'el's wrath, his wrath, would be kindled. He'll go Ham on them. And first, Jah people, the people would experience drought and drought. And if they did not repent, think different, correct themselves, turn away, do a 180 from the straight way, and return to Yahweh, truth and life, Ha'el, Ha'el, Jah would exile them. They will become falasha, right, in principle. They will be exiled, right, from the land. First time ever Ethiopians have been living in exile, right? Because of these same events that we trace to the glory of His Majesty, the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Question 63. What are Totafot? Totafot. Deuteronomy 11 and 18. The Totafot are four compartments of the Tefillin, the head Tefillin. They are often translated as phylacteries, or bands, or the frontlets between thine eyes. Question 64. Yeah, I know, it does seem to have an Egyptian connection, right? But what is it? If you don't study Torah, you won't know it. Question 64, right? What should we talk about the commandments, right? Or when, rather, when should we, right, talk about the commandments of Jehovah? When? Like when? When's the right time? Like on Sundays? On Saturdays, you know what I mean? What time? You know, at a holy time, right? In church, in the synagogue, where? Right? In shul, where? Deuteronomy 11, 19. When should we talk about the commandments, the imperatives of Jehovah? At all times, b'kol zeman, at all times, at all seasons, when you are sitting, when you are walking, when you lay down to sleep at night, when you get up, every day. Here, question 65, to bring it to fulfillment here, for the continuity, itinuity. What is a mezuzah? What is a mezuzah? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 20. A mezuzah, well, first of all, the word mezuzah is like the posts. Mezuzot is like the doorposts of the house. So a mezuzah, in this context, Hebraically, is a kosher scroll. A kosher scroll that's inscribed. So it's a scroll that's inscribed with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, and Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 to 21. Again, a mezuzah, which is like the post, the door post, right, is a kosher scroll that's inscribed with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, the Shema Yisrael, and the accompanying verses, as well as Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 to 21, that is rolled up, right, Meteklel, right, and inserted into a decorative case. And this is affixed, attached to a doorway, to the doorpost of the doorway, in fulfillment of the mitzvah, of the imperative, of the command that's given in Devarim, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 9, as well as in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 20, right here, here, here. Little bit of elaboration right here. Ikeb, Shabbat Ikeb. We'll pick up on some of the reasoning topics and get into this Shabbat Re'eh here for the 47th sabbatical study. Seen, sight, Re'eh, see.
My advice to all, advice. Is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
What is true?
And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Evermore. Evermore.
Yes, yes, yes. Apologies, apologies. That audible we thought was just like 25 minutes came out. That was almost like an hour and 20-something. Yeah, minutes right there, there, there. Someone had asked, forget the guy's name right now, name that you use, but you asked about H2424. That word there is a very interesting word. It's only used one time. The Hebrew pronunciation is chayut, 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 chayut. Some might say chayut, but there's no ch in the Evrit and the Yehudit and the Hebrew. So they're ha, ha, chayut, chay. Chay is life, and chayut is a feminine sense because of the narrative there in Shemuel, Samuel. This is concerning what had happened to Dawit, David's concubines, and so forth and so on. And it speaks that they'll be like living in like a widow, a widowhood. Get into a little bit more of that right there, 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 but just, you know, a note to listeners. I think I text onto the chat that would be like about 22 minutes because I was timing that from what I thought was 26 minutes on the board. It doesn't have the hour mark. So that audible is a little bit longer, but for continuity purposes.
In Ethiopian life, the imperial ruler is likened in splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun. An exalted power to the lion, to the lion, to the lion, to the lion, to the lion. In his divine being to the kings of Israel, divine being to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, and at times to God, and at times to God, and at times to God himself, 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 himself.
It's a little full on that verse, that question about the proper pronunciation of a particular word. Let's bring it up right here. That word, the H2424, the H for like the Hebrew and for the Strong's Concordance, H, where's the word right here? H2424. Now, we they didn't put the eights there, but we will assume that this is from the Old Testament or the Hebrew part of the scripture in Hebrew. If it was a G 2424, then we'll follow up with that. But right here, this particular word in the Hebrew is chayut, right? We have the word chayut. Now, the verse in the English, right, just a little question that had come in and came to our attention. Here we're in 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, and the KJV reads, "And David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward, and fed them, but went not in to them. So they were shut up to the day of their death, living in widowhood." So now the ward is the ward of the house, you know, part of the house. They were shut up. They were kind of like bound, like limited to this section, you know, of the Davidic royal compound. And when it says living in widowhood of life. So the particular word, the 8:24:24, is only found within the Hebrew scriptures, right, in this one area, the 8:24:24. And it's the word chayut. Ha, ye, wa, and the tau, chayut. And it means living, chayut. It's from the 8:24:21, which is chaya is the verb that means like to live or to have life or sustain life. In a New Testament sense, sometimes it says quickened. We are quickened. Not that we move around fast, but we are like made alive, like lively up yourself or revive. So we have the root, right, getting to the Hebrew root, chaya. That's a verb right there, right? Here we have, in this sense here, a noun feminine, chayut. And one of the reasons why it's probably only really found here is because qualifying the state or the status is almost a plural sense of those women. But the full of the verse, just to give one to hear, the full of the verse right here, Wayabo, David ila beito Yerushalayim, and David went, into his house, like in Jerusalem. Wayabo, David il beito Yerushalayim. Wayikach hameleka et asher nashim, the woman, pelagshim, the concubines, pelagshim, asher. He niyach, that he left my lishmor, like to guard or to keep, habayit, to keep the house. Why yit to name beta mishamaret, putting them up in the ward. Why kaliklaim, why elehem lo ba, and he did not go into them. Wayita yeina rurot ad yom mutan, to their death, mutan, until the day of the death, ad yom, until the day, yom, yawam, ad yom mutan, until the day of their death, al minut, is like the widowhood, being out like a, you say, a husband in that sense. Almanut chayut. And this is brought out here in the translation here in the KJV at living in widowhood. So they were chayut, living, but their status was almanut. So the background of that, some of the Psalms actually touch on that, where it talks about the Psalms of David when he ran from his son Avshalom, you know, a particular prophecy was the consequence of what he did within the whole incident of the adultery and murder incident that David was involved in with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. There was a particular judgment that was issued upon David. His life was spared by Yahweh, but this judgment, you know, the sword in the Davidic house and certain strife, you know, would come to Davidic house because of this uckery, this folly, this sin this great trespass that Yahuwah says would give the enemies occasion to blaspheme. That's why many ones and ones will say, look at David. David committed adultery, and, you know, that gives a reason to insult or question, why is David so important? He was an adulterer and a murderer. This is what we also have within the scripts, where it says that David's action would give the enemies, even many of the enemies that like to go into the Bible to find this and that, they can point to this incident. And part of the judgment was that he did this thing that he did to Uriah with Bathsheba secretly, but this thing would also consequence of what happened to him openly, namely that his wives or women, the concubines, Pelagashim, they would be violated openly, even in the sight of the son. And this is what his son Absalom had did. So when he returned, this is where he sets them apart. He cared for them, so forth and so on, but he did not, as it says, enter into them. In other words, they did not have the conjugal relationships that they might have had prior to, because of the violation upon Dawid and those women, because of the acts of David. This is why it says, to whom more is given, more is required. This is why in some cases and context of the Hebrew, the Torah appears. The Torah, interesting, is feminine within the Hebrew context, and it's likened to like the mother aspect, you know, within the Hebrew context and the Hebrew scriptures, right? Because he had violated the Torah, he would be also, in that sense, violated, and that which was under his guard, you know, would be violated, as Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah, so forth and so on. I know ones may have a lot of questions about that, but just to put more of the narrative into a little bit more of a context. But the word itself, chayut. Chayut is a feminine noun referring to like woman or woman, like living. It's basically a living, speaking of the feminine. We have chay, like we say, jaliv. You know, chay, Yahuwah, living, Yahuwah. When it says like, the Lord liveth, chay, living. But if it was a feminine sense, it would be like the chayut. So it's chayut is that particular proper pronunciation, you know, chayut, for living right there. But let's ride up with the time we have here. The daily psalm here, not like in the audible, then when we record it was Psalm 89 that occurred a couple of days earlier here in this season, but we have Psalm 44. So let's touch on a little bit of Psalm 44 right here, you know, in the study to show ourselves approved and close up the generation.
It's my yod.
As they say, what they say, mind the gap, right? Don't want to fall into the gap right there. Yes, sir, the breach. It's also like a breach. But here. Today's daily Psalm 44, Psalm 44. Just a little taste here.
Shalom Shaparim. Here we have today's daily psalm. We have psalm.
Psalm 44.
Mizmor mem dalet lam natseyach livne korach maskil.
We have heard with our ears, O God.
Elohim, 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 be'ozneinu shama'nu. Shamanu.
Our fathers have told us.
Avotenu siperu lanu.
What work thou didst in their days, in the times of old,
Po al paalta vimehem vimekede.
How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and planted them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies, through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Selah. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me for the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth, by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way, though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, awake, awake.
Ora, ora, ora.
Why sleepest thou, O Lord? O Lord.
Adonai, Adonai, Adonai. Lamma tishan, Adonai. Hakita, 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 Hakita.
Arise, arise, arise.
Hakita, Hakita, Hakita.
Cast us not off forever, forever.
Laneta, 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 Laneta.
Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise, 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 for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake.
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 Thy mercy's
sake. Kuma, 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 rise. Interesting, today's daily psalm, it has the Kedem, be made Kedem. That's translated as in the days of old, the Kedem, Kedem, like we have in Kedamawi. Here in the Hebrew, we have the Kedem in the ancient times, or even to say like the first times. Zatepi, perhaps, but the Kedem, be made, the days of the Kedem, and also bringing out the Hayel, you know, very interesting, the linguistic connections. But here we're going to touch on the Midrash, going over some of the basic ancient reasonments on today's daily psalm right here.
And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. They went up into an upper room. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren.
So the man them and the woman them together reason. So right here for today's daily psalm right here, going into that upper room of Zion, the higher heights, the higher reasonment right here. On today's daily psalm, the Midrash right here.
Edek, Melchizedek, the righteous king, even the king of kings. Today's daily psalm, Mizmor, Mim, Dalet, Mim, Dalet, Mim, Dalet, Mim, Dalet, Mim, Dalet, Mim, Dalet. Shalom, Chabarim. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of Ethiopian Hebrews. Here, after the order of Malachi, Edek, Melchizedek, the righteous king, even the King of Kings. Karamawi, Karamawi, Haile Selassie, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. Today's daily psalm, Mizmor, Mizmor, Mim, Dalet, Mim, Dalet. Psalm 44, Psalm XLIV, hear, 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 a Midrash, Midrash, Tehillim, study here on the Psalms, hear, 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 Psalm 44, Mizmor, Mim, Dalet, Mim, Dalet, for the leader, a psalm of the sons of Korah, Maskil. O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. Hear, 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 Hebraically, verses 1 and 2. The Aleph and the Beit verses right here, here, here. Give ear right here. It here, and here, it here, and here. Lamnateach livnei Korach, maskil Elohim be'aznenu, shama'enu, evotenu, sipru lanu, po'ala pa'alta, v'yameihem, b'mei edem. For the leader, for the chief musician, for the overcomer, lamnateach, lamnateach livnei Korach. A psalm, a chant, a psalm of the sons of Korah, of the sons of Korah, Livnei Korach, Maskil, a Maskil, Elohim, God, true good, true God, Elohim, Be'aznenu, Shama'enu, we have heard with our ears, Be'aznenu, Shama'inu. Our fathers have told us. Evotenu. Sipru lanu. Evotenu. Sipru lanu. Our fathers, our patriarchs have told us. Po'ala. Pa'alta. V'mehem. B'meh edem. What work? What work? Thou, the I, didst. What work? I worked in their days. Po'al, po'alta, be may hem, in their days. Be may in the days, in the times, be may in the days, k'edem, in the days of the k'edem. Laminatzeach libnei korach maskil. Elohim, ve'aznenu, shema'enu, evotenu, sipru lanu, po'al pa'alta, b'mehem, b'mek edem. These words are to be considered in the light, in the illumination of what Scripture says elsewhere, even in Yeshayahu, in Isaiah, Isaiah 63 and 12, where it reads, He led them by the right hand of Moses with His glorious arm, to make Himself an everlasting name. He led them by the right hand of Moshe, of Moses, with His glorious arm, to make Himself an everlasting name. Molik limin Moshe zeroa tif se'arto bo ke'a mayim mipneihem la'esot lahu shem olam. That caused His glorious arm to go. That caused His glorious arm to go. Molik limin Moshe. At the right hand of Moshe. Zeroa tia se'arto. That divided the water before them. Bokea mayima mipneihem. To make Himself an everlasting name. La esota lau shem olam. To make for Himself, la esot lau shem olam, an eternal name, shem olam. From this you learn that when the Bnei Yisrael, when the sons of Israel, the children of Israel, when the Israelites went forth, Mimitzrayim, from Egypt, from Kemet, they could not offer any works of their hands whereby they might be redeemed.
And here, a Midrash note on today's daily psalm, Mizmor Mim Dalet, Mim Dalet. Here, where it reads in the Midrash, from this you learn that when the Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, went forth from Egypt, they could not offer any works of their hands whereby. The E.T., the edited text, it reads, Mayhem, from them. But the P.E., the printed edition, has Bahem, whereby they might be redeemed. And so, not because of the works of their fathers, the works of their patriarchs. And here, another Midrash note. The E.T., the edited text, it reads, not even like the work of their fathers, not even like the work of their patriarchs, and not because of their own works was the sea ripped before them, but only that Ha'el, the true good, the true God, Ha'el Elohim, might make himself a name in the world. As the next verse says, the next verse in Yeshayahu, in Isaiah, in Isaiah 63:14, that reads, as the cattle that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused them to rest, so didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. And here, verse 14 of Yeshayahu, Ka behema babika tereda ruach Yahuwah te niyachinu keina ni hagta amecha la esota lecha shema tifaret. As the cattle, ka behema, as the cattle, babika tereda, that go down into the valley, ruach Yahuwah, the Spirit of Jehovah, te nichenu, cause them to rest, te nichenu, kena, niyahagta amecha, so didst thou lead amecha, Ameka, the I people, la esota lecha, shame, tifaret, to make thyself, shame, tifaret, to make thyself a glorious, tifaret, a glorious shame, tifaret. When the children of Israel, the Bnei Yisrael, were redeemed, Mimitzrayim, from Egypt, from Kemet, Moses said, not because of your works are you redeemed, but only, according to the words of Shemot of Exodus 10 and 2, but only that thou, the I, mayest tell in the ears of thy son, not because of your works are you redeemed, but only that thou mayest tell in the ears, that thou, the I, mayest tell in the ears of thy son. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son. That is only that thou mayest give HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the Sanctified One, the Set Apart One, blessed be He, the glory of having His children declare His praise, His eyes is among the nations, among Hagoyi, among the nationalities, the Gentiles, the heathen, the international community. Hence, here it is said, O sing to the Lord a new song. Declare His glory among the nations, even in Psalm 96, Hebraically verse 1 and verse 3. Shiru la Yahuwah shir chadash. Sapru avagoyim kvodo. Oh, sing to Jehovah a new song. Shiru la Yahuwah shir chadash. Declare His glory among the nations, the nationalities, international community, the Gentile. Sapru bagoyim kvodo. And what is kavodo? What is kavodo? What is His glory? Kavru. What is kavodo? That His children declare kavodo, His glory among the goyim, among the nations. Therefore, it is said, declare His glory among the nations. Sapru avagoyim kavodo. Sapru bagoyim kavodo. Declare His glory among the nations and nationalities, the heathen, the Gentiles, the international community. And so too, Levinei Korach, the sons of Korah, said, O God, we have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us. Our fathers, our patriarchs have told I and I. Elohim, ve'aznenu shama'enu, evotenu, sipru lanu. Elohim, Elohim, ve'aznenu, in our ears, in our azn. We have heard Shama'inu, Evotenu, our fathers, our patriarchs, Evotenu, Sipru Lanu, have told I and I, Sipru Lanu. But did not the Bnei Korach, the sons of Korah, Bnei Korach themselves, go out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, out of Kemet, as is said even in Shemot, in Exodus 6 and 24. The sons of Korah, Asir, and Elkanah, and Abiasaph, Uvnei Korach, Asira, ve'Elkanah, va'Avisaph, va'Aviasaph, and the sons of Korah, Uvnei Korach, Asir, and Elkanah, ve'Elkanah, and Abiasaph, va'Abiasaph, va'Aviasaph. Then, why did they say, we have heard with our ears, our fathers, our patriarchs have told us, because they prophesied concerning present generations, who say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who say to the Holy One, the Sanctified One, the Set Apart One, blessed be He, Ribon Shel HaOlamim, Master of the Universe, the Iniverse, why didst thou didst wonders for our fathers? Wilt thou not do them for I and I? The I didst wonders. Thou didst wonders for our fathers. Wilt thou not do them for us, for I and I? Thus, the next verse, here in today's daily psalm, Mizmor Mim Dalet, Mim Dalet. Verse 2, Hebraically, thou didst a deed in the days of old. Po'ala pa'alta, bimake edem. The I didst a deed in the days of the kedem. In the days of the kedem, bimei kedem. Po'alta, bimei kedem. This means that the present generation say, what a work! What a work! Didst thou the I perform in bringing them forth, Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, out of Kemet, and dividing the sea for them. But thou, the I, has not done the like for us, but the I has not done the like for I and I. As Scripture says, even in Psalm 115, verse 1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, not to I and I, O Lord, not to I and I. Lo lanu, yo, lo lanu, not to us, not to I and I. Lo lanu, yo, Jehovah, lo lanu, not to us, not to I and I. Thou, the I, didst it for them, didst it for them, did it for them, but not for us, but not for I and I. What does it profit us what thou, the I, didst for our fathers, for our patriarchs? When shall the prophet be ours? When shall the prophet be I and I's? When thou wilt walk a good sign for us, a good sign for I and I. As is said even in Psalm 86, Hebraically, the 17th verse, Psalm 86, 17, that reads, walk, work in my behalf, a sign for good. Work in I behalf, in I and I behalf, a sign for good. Esayah imo ot litova. Work in my behalf, a sign for good. Esayah imo ot litova. Slika. Esayah imi, imi. Work, esay. Work the I, imi. Imi, for me. Ot litova. For good. Work in my behalf, imi. not Emo in his behalf, but work in my behalf, in I behalf, Eseya imi ot, assign a ot, litova, for good, litova, Eseya imi ota litova. Thou, that I didst a great work for former generation in the days of Abraham, the days of Abraham. And what was the great work? According to Bereshit, according to Genesis 14, verse 15, the night itself contended against them. The night itself contended against them. Vayechalek eleihem lailahu, and he divided himself against them by night. Vayechalek eleihem lailahu, or the night itself contended against them. Vayechalek eleihem lailahu. Here, Midrash note right here. That is against Abraham's enemies. In rabbinic interpretation, the rabbinic Targum, the angel of night, fought on the side of Abraham. Thou didst a great work for Abraham's children also. Thou didst show favor to them, but thou, the I, showest no favor to us. The I showest no favor to I and I. As scripture says, even in Psalm 85, verses 2 and 8, Hebraically, where it reads, Lord, thou hast been favorable to thy land. Show I and I thy mercy, O Lord, and grant I and I thy salvation. Raditai Yehovah Aritzecha. Haenu Yehovah Chatzedecha. Ve'yeshecha titen lanu. Jehovah, thou the I hast been favorable to thy land. Ratzita Yahweh Aritzecha. Jehovah, the I has been favorable to thy land. Ratzita Yahweh Aritzecha. Show I and I thy mercy, O Jehovah, and grant I and I thy salvation. Harenu Yahweh Chasedecha. We yeshecha titen lanu. For when the Bnei Yisrael, the children, the sons of Israel, when the Israelites went forth, Mitzrayim, out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, out of Kemet, they entered into the land, not by their own might, and got possession of it and got possession of Ha, not by their own strength, but because, here in the words of today's daily psalm, in the words of Mizmor, Mim, Dalet, Mem, Dalet, thou, the I, with thy hand didst drive out the nations. Thou, with thy hand, didst drive out the nations, the nationalities, the Gentiles, the heathen, the international community. Atta yadika goyim horashita. Thou, the I, with thy hand. Atta yadika. Didst drive out the goyim. Didst drive out the nations. Goyim horashita. Atta yadika goyim horashita. Should you say, it was by their own works. It was by their own works. And here, another Midrash note, the E.T., the edited text, it reads, because of your works, and should you say it was by their own works or by your own works, which were good, note that scripture says, even in Yechezkel, in Ezekiel 20 and 18, where it reads, and I said to their children in the wilderness, Walk y'all not in the statutes of your fathers. Va'omara illa b'neihem abamidbara be'achukeya evotekem alatelechu. And I said to their children, Va'omara illa b'neihem in the wilderness, bamidbara, trod y'all not in the statutes, the ordinances, the statutes of your fathers, of your patriarchs. Bechukei abotekem alatelechu. And it also says in Chezekiel in Ezekiel 20:7, I said to them, cast ye away every man the detestable things, the detestable things of his eyes. I said to them, cast y'all away every man the detestable things of his eyes. Vayomar elehem, isha shikutz eya anayo hashalechu. And I said to them, Waomar elehem, cast all away every man the detestable things of his eyes. Isha shikutz eya anayo hashalechu. Unless and least you should say it was by the sword. Note that scripture. Scripture says, even in today's daily psalm, Mizmor Mim Dalet, Mim Dalet, Psalm 44, verse 4, Hebraically, where it reads, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword. Ki lo v'charbam yashu aretz. For not by their own sword. Ki lo b'charbam, did they get the land in possession? Yarshu aretz. And the verse concludes, but by thy right hand and thine arm and the light, the illumination of thy countenance and the light of thy face, because thou wast favorable to them. Ki yaminecha uazeroecha. But thy right hand, ki, for it was thy right hand, ki yaminka, and thine arm, uzeroeka, and the light of thy countenance, the illumination of thy face, with or paneka, because thou, the eye, was favorable to them. Ki ritzitam. For Ha'el, the true good, the true God, for Ha'el Lohim, went before them by day. Thou, the eye, wast favorable to them. But thou, the eye, art not favorable to us. But the eye be not favorable to I and I. Ha'el said, Ha'el Lohim, the true good, the true God said, indeed, I shall be favorable to you also, to y'all also. And of this, the Bnei Korah, the sons of Korah, were to say, even in the words of Psalm 85, verse 2, Hebraically, that reads, Lord, thou hast been favorable to thy land. Thou, the eye, hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Ratzita Yehovah Aretzeka, Shavta Shavuta Yaakov, Jehovah, thou, the eye, has been favorable to thy land. Ratzita Yehovah Aretzeka, Shavta Shavuta Yaakov, thou, the eye, has returned the captivity of Jacob, of Yaakov. Shavta Shavita Yaakov. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Hear, today's daily psalm, Mizmor Mim Dalet, Mim Dalet, Psalm 44, Hebraically, verse 26, where it reads, for our soul, she is bowed down to the dust. Ki yashachah le'afar nafshenu, for our soul, she is bowed down to the dust. Ki yashachah le'afar nafshenu. According to Rav Yitzhak Isaac HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the Isle One, the Sanctified One, the Set Apart One, blessed be He, said to Abraham, even in the words of Bereshith, Genesis chapter 13, verse 16, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Vitsamti eta zareka ka efara haaretz, and I will make thy seed as the dust, as the afar, efar, as the afar of haaretz, and I will make thy seed, thy race, with samti eta zareka ka efara haaretz. And he continued, arise, walk through the land. Arise, walk, trod through the land, in the length of it, of her, and in the breadth of it, of her. For to the eye will I give it, to thee, to the eye will I give her. Even here, Bereshith, Genesis chapter 13, verse 17. Ki leka etanenaha, arise, kum, arise, walk, trod, hita halek, trod through the land, kum, hita haleka ba'aretz, in the length of it, the length of her, le'arekaha, and in the breadth of it, the breadth of her, ua le'arachibaha, for to thee, the eye, ki leka, will I give it? Will I give her? Etanenaha. O mahita haleka baareta le arkaha. O ale rachbaha ki leka etanenaha. Therefore, scripture after saying ki ashaha le afara nafshenu. After saying our soul nafshenu, our psyche she is bowed down to the dust. Ki yashachah le'afar nafshenu. It continues with the words, arise, arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Arise for I and I help and redeem I and I for the eye, for the eye's mercy's sake. Uma ezaratah lanu ufdenu lima'ana hasedeka. Arise, Kuma, arise, Kuma, for I and I help, Ezratah lanu, and redeem us, redeem I and I, ufde, ufde, for thy mercy's sake, ufde lima'ana chasedeka. That is to say, quote, if I and I have good works, if I and I have good works, redeem us, redeem I and I, but if I and I do not have good works, redeem us, redeem I and I for thy name's sake, for thy name's sake, for the Hashem's sake, as is said even here in today's daily psalm, Mizmor Mim Dalet, Mim Dalet, Psalm 44, Hebraically the 27th verse that reads, redeem us, redeem I and I for thy mercy's sake. Ufdei alima'ana chasedeka, redeem us, ufdei. Redeem us fidei ufidei for the sake of chasedeka, lit ma'ana chasedeka. Ra Berakayu said, when the kingdom of Israel is so far fallen, when the kingdom of Yisrael is so far fallen that it is become like dust, it is become like afar, like the afar, like the dust. Look, as from a watchtower for deliverance, look, as from a watchtower for deliverance. Hakadosh Baruchu, the Holy One, the Isle One, the Sanctified One, the Set Apart One, Baruchu, blessed be He, said to Yisrael, make your good works blossom like the lily, and I shall redeem you forthwith. Make your good works blossom like the lily, and I shall redeem you, redeem the eye forthwith. And what follows at once, even in the next psalm, Mizmor Meim Hei, Mim Hei, Psalm 45, first verse, for him who gives victory, for him who gives victory because of lilies, for him who gives victory because of Shoshanim. Lamnatzeach al Shoshanim. Lamnatzeach al Shoshanim. And the concluding Midrash note right here, here, here. Usually, this is read, the beginning of Mizmor Mim Hei Mem Hei, Psalm 45, a royal marriage, wedding, psalm, the coronation, psalm. Here it is read, for the leader, for the chief musician, upon Shoshanim. La Menat Seyach, Al Shoshanim. For him who gives victory, for the overcomer. La Menat Seyach, because of lilies. Al Shoshanim, up on Shoshanim, 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 Shoshanim,
Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim, Shoshanim,